This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Tonight, my guest is the former professional heavyweight boxer Chuck Wepner, who nearly went 15 rounds with the great Muhammad Ali at the Richfield Coliseum in Ohio in 1975. A rugged fight that saw Wepner knock an off-balance Ali down to the canvas in round 9.
Oh, a vicious shot to the rib of Muhammad Ali, and what a surprise. Chuck Wepner gets to the body of Muhammad Ali. Now let's see what happens here. We've got a count of 2, 6, 7, and now it's the mandatory 8 count. Muhammad Ali actually went down. A vicious right hand thrown by Wepner. Ali is now going to have to get off his hunches and start to fight. This is no joke. Ali was surprised.
Ali would eventually recover and score a TKO in the 15th round to retain his heavyweight championship. But Chuck Wepner won the hearts of many that night. The fight inspired Sylvester Stallone to write Rocky. Coming up later this year, a new movie about Chuck Wepner's life is coming to the big screen. Let's head to Chuck's home in New Jersey and talk with the Bayonne Bleeder on Sports Jam. That nickname came from a sports writer in Bayonne. Can you tell us that story?
That was Rosie Rosenberg. And he was the sports editor for the Bayonne Times. And the night that he gave me the name, I fought Sonny Liston in the Armory. Sonny Liston, the former heavyweight champion of the world. I fought him the fight after he lost the title to Muhammad Ali. And it was a rough fight. I went 10 rounds, but I got 72 stitches, a broken nose, broken left cheekbone, because of my style. I should have boxed him instead of trying to punch it out with him. Liston was a big puncher. And there was some blood splattering around, and some of it got on Rosie Rosenberg, who was at the ringside, and he said, Jesus, my God, I can't believe how much this guy's bleeding. They ought to call him the Bayonne Bleeder, and that's how the name came, and it stuck.
It stuck, and are you okay with it after all these years?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. You know what? I'm not crazy about it. I would have been, rather been called the Bayonne Brawler or the New Jersey Assassin, the Garden State Goliath, which are some of the names that they've used to describe me over the years. But, you know, the Bayonne Bleeder is a catchy thing, and everybody, Chuck Wepner has mentioned, and everybody says, oh, the Bleeder. And that's going to be the name of the movie that's coming out in September. And the Bleeder's the name, and that's what it's going
to
be called.
That had to make you very excited to know that an actor like Liev Schreiber is going to play you on the screen.
Definitely. You know, an actor of his caliber is great. And, you know, it's funny, but my wife is also part of the movie. And when Liev Schreiber took the part, Naomi Watts insisted on playing my wife. So those are going to be the two headline actors in it, Liev Schreiber and Naomi Watts. And we've got to be great friends with them, and they're terrific people.
Also, Christina Hendricks will be in the film, of course, making her name in the Mad Men series. So this is very exciting news, too. How much time have you had a chance to speak with him about? How much homework has he done with you about Chuck Wepner?
We've been together three times, and we've talked, and he's gone over different parts of my voice and the inflections I use when I speak. People say I have a bit of a Bayonne accent. I don't know what the heck that means, but I found him to be a great guy. When we went out, we had a great time. We went to dinner a few times, and we went to the Garden to see a Triple G fight. He's the welterweight champion of the world. And he and Naomi have just been wonderful to us. And of course, on the movie set, we were doing the movie for 3.5 months. And I was on the set 11 times, and I got to talk to him and help him with different moves and different facial expressions. And, you know, because he fights the bear twice, Victor, and he fights Sonny Liston, and he fights Muhammad Ali. And I worked with him with some of those things.
It's also nice to know that a lot of times when we have films about certain people in history, they're already gone and they don't have the chance to have that input. How great is it for you to be here with us and be able to tell your story on the screen and have input? Because a lot of people don't.
That's absolutely true. They're gone and they do it posthumously. But it's great. It's great to be here and see a film being made about your life and to have some input in the film, which I did. And they're hoping to have it out by September 15th.
A lot of people think they've already seen your story when they've seen Rocky, and Sylvester Stallone, when he saw that fight with you and Muhammad Ali, he was inspired to write it. What's your relationship with Sly Stallone now? We know of the lawsuit that came about after him really not getting any of the money of that movie toward you.
That's true, but, you know, we've more or less patched things up. You know, there was never any real hard feelings. You know, it wasn't a huge settlement, and I just wanted him to admit that I was the inspiration for the movie Rocky, and he did that. And him and I, the last few times we've been together, everything was fine. As a matter of fact, Millennium Pictures, that's the company that does all of his Rambo movies. They're making a movie about me, so Stallone's involved in it, and anything involved with Sylvester Stallone's got nothing but help you. You know, he's a great actor, and he's a very famous guy, and it helps a lot to have Stallone involved in any way.
When you take a look at the life of the boxing career of Chuck Rutner, even though you never became heavyweight champion of the world, you mentioned you had fought Sonny Liston, you had fought George Foreman. You're intertwined in the sport of boxing forever. When you take a look back at your career, what can you say about it? If you had a young kid and you had to describe Chuck Wepner to them, what would you say about your career?
Well, I would say that, by the way, I beat Ernie Terrell in the Boardwalk Hall, 1972, and that was supposed to be for the National American Heavyweight Championship of the World. He was the WBC champion, and I beat him. And anyway, we went on to say that we did hold the world title because we beat the world champion. But I was a brawler. I was never a great fighter. I was just a tough guy who could take a real good punch, and I was always in condition. Condition was my forte, and it helped me wear guys down. Most of my knockouts were scored later on in fights, and it went a long way to making me a tough guy and the kind of guy that people respected because they like good fights, and that's what I was. I was a brawler. I wasn't a boxer. I would tell kids to learn to box more and always stay in condition because here I am now at 77 years old and my brain is fine. I'm fine. I'm doing a lot of after-dinner speaking. Well, I'd say probably 60 to 70% of my friends who are in boxing are hurt physically.
I remind you, Wepner has never been down. Wepner has never been off his feet. Ali landed a good combination of left and right hand to the face of Chuck Wepner.
Right before the fight with Muhammad Ali, you and Muhammad on the Mike Douglas Show. What a wonderful 5 minutes of television that was.
I read where you called this man by his other name, Cassius Clay. That's not too healthy, is it, Chuck?
I'm not in a popularity contest with him. Yeah. I intend to take the title off him on the 24th.
How?
I just call him whatever comes to mind. You got a lot of names for him.
You will take it. You be there in the Cleveland Arena this month, the 24th, or what is it, March? And you'll see what you take.
Now, I know what you're going to take. A beat.
You don't have a chance. There ain't nowhere in the world you can whoop me.
Take us back to that moment. What do you remember most about the Mike Douglas Show and promoting that fight?
Well, you know, it was a great time in my life, probably the greatest time. And Mike Douglas said that, you know, you're going to be on, we're going to have you bring you out with Muhammad Ali there because I'm interviewing Ali. And he says, you know, just try to go along with Ali because he'll be the headliner. Well, it turned out he wasn't the headliner. I did pretty good in a one-to-one head-to-head competition. And Ali was to say years later on, the reason I respect Chuck Wepner is because he was a gentleman and he wouldn't use the N-word that I wanted him to make it look like a racial bout. I definitely wouldn't do that. And he says he was smart. Everything I said to him, he had a comeback for. As a matter of fact, I wrote two poems about him. Goodbye, Ali, Hello, Chuck, and What's in a Word. And they were both published. And we've become great friends since then.
So let's talk just a little bit about, you know that I had one of your friends, Jerry Cooney, recently on Sports Jam. He was considered at one time the great white hope. So were you. Did you take the white-black battle in the ring? You mentioned that you would not call him the N-word. What were your thoughts when people were maybe rooting for you because you were a white fighter or rooting against you?
That's fine. You know what? Naturally, everybody wants to see a white heavyweight contender, somebody that's a tough guy and a good fighter, and we didn't have many over the years. As a matter of fact, I was ranked in the top 10 in the world for 42 straight months. And in that era, the only other guy there was Jerry Quarry, who Ali had beaten already. So I didn't mind at all being called the white people's champion because, you know, that makes for competition and it's good for the sport.
Here we go, the heavyweight championship of the world at stake. Round one, the bell sounds, and here we go. Wepner comes bouncing across the ring and looks as though he wants to be aggressive right away. Ali, known for slow starts, circling ever so patented to the left.
Richfield Coliseum in Ohio was the spot where in 1975 you fought Muhammad Ali. So take us into round one. What's going through the mind of Chuck Wepner going up against Muhammad Ali?
Well, you know, I'll tell you the truth. It never really dawned on me too much. I was never afraid in a fight. The only thing I was ever afraid of was not doing well and letting my people down. But when I climbed in the ring that night and Ali came in and I looked across the ring and I said, wow, you know what? This is it. I'm fighting Muhammad Ali, the most famous person in the world, the greatest heavyweight in the world. And the first round, I really didn't go out to feel him out. I went right after him because that was the only shot I thought I had. If I could wear him down, maybe take him into the later rounds, I would have a chance of beating him. And it turned out that way. I won 15 rounds, and they stopped it with 19 seconds to go. But that was the first and only time in my career I was ever down. And I got up at 8, and unfortunately, the referee stopped it with 19 seconds. But I saw some write-ups on the scorecards, and all three judges had Ali winning the fight. Although one card was close, they gave me 6 rounds.
In the 9th round, one of the most controversial moments in boxing history, you knocked down Muhammad Ali with a punch below the heart on the with your right. He went down. Later, he claimed he tripped over your foot. What really happened in the ring that night?
He pulled away from the jab. He had a habit of slipping jab by bending backwards almost and having him just miss and then come back with combinations. Well, that night, he pulled away from the jab. I threw a jab, and then I went to the body with a right hand. He was off balance. It wasn't a great punch, but I did knock him down. And, you know, people say, oh, you stepped on his foot. You know what? If somebody steps on your foot in a bout, especially a world title bout, and once you go down and you get up, you say to the referee, hey, ref, no knockdown. He never said that. He took the 8 count. And as a matter of fact, after the knockdown, I went back to my corner and I said to my manager, Al Braverman, Al, start the car. We're going to the bank with millionaires. And Al said, Chuck, you better turn around. He's getting up and he looks pissed off. I said, uh-oh. I knew I was in for it then. He really opened up then and tried harder and about went 6 more rounds, you know. And I'll tell you the truth, I was never hurt in that fight. Even the knockdown glanced off my shoulder, glanced off my left shoulder and caught me in the side of the head. I was off balance because I was exhausted. That's an hour in the ring, 15 rounds, 45 plus a minute in between. And but I got up and I gave my best that night, so I could never reproach myself and say, hey, Chuck, you could have did better. I couldn't have did better. I was in great shape. I just fought somebody who was the greatest heavyweight of all time at that time. Still is.
And a lot of people, that's what they know you for. They might not look back into your history to know that you were also a boxing champion with the Golden Gloves.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tell us about, you know, being on top of that at one point.
Well, in 1965, I went to New York. No heavyweight had ever won. No heavyweight from New Jersey had ever won the New York. It was New York East Coast Nationals because it was the whole East Coast, and they had a lot of fighters. I had to win 5 in a row, and I did. And I won the heavyweight Golden Glove Championship that year, and it was just great because it was so much great competition there, and for me to be at that time the only heavyweight, and as a matter of fact, till today, still the only New Jersey heavyweight to win the New York Heavyweight Golden Gloves. We're going to be doing a dinner in a couple of weeks, all the Golden Glove champions are going to get together and they're going to honor us.
Great time for you. Do you remember the first time you decided, yeah, maybe I'll try this boxing? Can you think of that time?
Well, you know, I had boxed in the Marine Corps a little bit, a couple of smokers, and I played basketball. I was a basketball player, and I led the city in scoring. As a matter of fact, I think 7 out of 10 years that I played in the different leagues. And I loved basketball, but there was no money in basketball, and I wasn't good enough to be a pro. You know, it's like any sport. You're good until a certain time in your career that you start facing the best. And they offered me a chance to go in the Golden Gloves. After I won that, I was a commodity, a white heavyweight. And I saw a chance to make some money, and I did, and I was very fortunate.
You're listening to Sports Jam on WBGO. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest tonight is certainly a tough guy, former professional boxer Chuck Wepner, whose life will now be portrayed in the new movie, The Bleeder, starring Liev Schreiber, who certainly gained even more fame in the Showtime hit series, Ray Donovan.
Is it turning you on? Hurting people?
You better watch what you say to me, Ray.
What are you going to do? Call your daddy, have him sort this out for you.
Many of you already know that Liev Schreiber is a huge boxing fan, and now he'll play Chuck Wepner in The Bleeder coming out later this year. Let's head back to the Bayonne home of Chuck Wepner and talk more about his boxing career and meet his wife, Linda.
What has your life been like with the famous Chuck Wepner?
A wonderful ride. I love every minute of it, and we're going to keep on going. We got the movie coming out, and we're just thrilled. And if I may, I just have to say one thing. You know, Chuck was in the hospital for 4 days. He had pneumonia and flu. And our lawyer, Tony Mango, happened to call up Liev Schreiber. And Liev, in return, had his associate, Tyler, call. Now, he's in L.A. doing Ray Donovan. Calls up, wants to get Chuck great Jewish matzo ball soup to recoup. He's going to send it, right? And Chuck didn't want the matzo ball soup. So Tyler said, could you get me something else? You know, could I get you something else? He said, sure, why not? Corned beef and a pastrami sandwich. Lo and behold, they sent it. Isn't that wonderful?
Liev is
unbelievable. And so is Naomi.
Yeah, and she's playing you in the movie. What kind of relationship have you two developed in a short period of time?
Well, you know what? It's funny because we're very much alike in a lot of ways. She's very caring. You know, we had gone out to dinner. We went to their home. And I had on like a poncho. And she turned around. She said, Lynn, are you going to be warm enough? Now, that's something that I would do. They're wonderful people. They're caring. Their children are wonderful. And they're just everyday people. Actually, they're like Chuck and I.
Can you watch some of the fights where he took a lot of punishment? Can you go back and watch those films?
You know what? Believe it or not, lately, not really. No, you know what? I was a very, very big fight fan as a little girl. I used to watch the Friday Night Fights, Gillette Blue Blade, with my father and my brother. And I loved the fights. I loved every minute of it. And as time went on, I became a very big Muhammad Ali fan. Love Muhammad. Still do. Watched every one of the fights of his. And then, lucky enough, I meet Chuck. And it's unbelievable.
What's one of the stories, before we let you go, that you can tell us about Chuck that nobody knows?
I'll never tell. Let's see. You know, Chuck comes off as like a very, very big alpha male and all that. And he, you know, he's really a pussycat. And he's just very genuine. You know, people think as boxers or Chuck as being a fighter, he's gruff and all that. He's really not. You know, I tease and I tell him, you were tough in the ring. I'm tough outside the ring.
Are you number one in the house then? Does he follow your lead?
Oh, yeah.
All the time. I love every minute. And sometimes I stop short.
You know, I tell everybody that I'm the boss in the house, you know, when my wife's not home. You know, but Linda and I get along great, you know, and like I said, I had met her 16 years before I went back to meet her the second time, and we wound up getting married. You know, the first time it it wasn't the time. I was still running, and, you know, carousing and stuff. And second time was the real deal.
We have the same birthday. Yep. How great is that?
That's nice. So what do you usually do for the birthday celebration? What kind of celebrations have you had?
Well, we go out to dinner. He would take me to Las Vegas, or we would go to Atlantic City, because I like to gamble a little, very little, I think. And we have a great time. And, you know, sometimes we have our friends with us, and we'll go out to dinner in different restaurants, like Liberty House. I had Chuck's 70th birthday party in Liberty House in Jersey City. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Wonderful restaurant. And I'm a liquor salesman also, and that's my account.
Let's talk about you both being in the liquor business. Why did you choose that?
Well, I chose it because, like 50 years ago, there was a guy named Frankie Cipone, a friend of mine. He was a bantamweight fighter, and he was retiring to buy a bowling alley. And he said to me that he thought that I'd be a good salesman because I had a good gift to gab. And I like people. So he sent me down there, and they hired me. At that time, it was called Baxter. I worked there for 30 years, and now I've come over to Allied, and I've been with them for 18 years, which Allied is a company that about 12 to 14 different smaller companies together. And when we're all under the same umbrella now, and it's called Allied Liquors.
Now, knowing that the film is coming out very soon, in September most likely, what do you think your reaction is going to be when you finally sit down and see it on the big screen and other people are with you? Have you thought about what that moment will be like for you, Linda?
You know, not really, but I tell you what, I'm just so thrilled that the movie's coming out because of Chuck. He deserves everything. And I don't know, I probably cry, laugh. I'm very, very excited for Chuck. And naturally, we love Liev, and Naomi, I am thrilled that that lady is playing me. She is unbelievable.
Why don't you show Doug a couple of pictures from your handheld of Naomi playing Linda. They have her makeuped up. They dyed her hair like Linda had reddish hair, like bright red hair when she was younger. It's gotten a little darker. But Naomi was just, you know, Christina Hendricks was going to play the part. And when Liev took over the role of Chuck Wepner, she insisted on playing Linda. She wanted her. So, Naomi Watts, come on, nominated 4 times for the Academy Award, great actress, and she got the part.
Anybody who's been in Bayonne on Broadway has seen at 737 and the building there has seen that huge mural of Chuck Wepner, and it's a wonderful depiction of probably one of the most famous New Jerseyans we have.
Well, I'm glad you could say that. I believe I probably am. Yeah, I'm four for the championship of the world. Yeah, the mural is beautiful. They made it. It's 3 stories high, and it's on the side of a building on 33rd Street. And Mr. Xi, who owns the building, there was a little bit of controversy in the beginning, but he's gone along with it now. The mural is going to stay. And they're thinking about putting up a statue. As a matter of fact, the statue was made. Just came back from China. It was bronzed. To do the bronze job here in America, 15,000. Over there in China, 1,500. Anyway, they're going to have a ceremony around September, October.
You've done a lot of work, charity work, and when you make appearances, you do it for free because you work for you help out a lot of organizations. That's Chuck Wepner's way of giving back.
Yes, that's exactly it. As a matter of fact, I did 2 things just this past weekend. Sunday with the Unico, and Monday up in Warren, New Jersey, it was for scholarships for the Catholic schools, St. Anthony's, St. Peter's Prep, St. Al's, and I went up there, and I get paid for appearances, but. For that kind of thing, I never charge. I just go up and have a good time and watch the kids because the kids are amazing. They're just great.
And now the introduction of Chuck Wepner.
Roller, 6'5", 224 pounds, Chuck Wepner.
To be able to take a punch like you could, what's inside Chuck Wepner that you can stand there and take that punishment and still move into your opponent? I mean, it's an amazing act of will and strength, isn't it?
I guess you could use those words. But with me, you know, I go back again to my conditioning. You know, I condition myself. In those days, I had a 20-inch neck. My neck is about 19 now, 18 and a half, because I got old. That happens. But anyway, I could take a part. It was just something that, you know, something that came naturally to me to move in. And when I got hit, I was never really hurt in a fight. The only time I was ever hurt in a fight my whole life was with the Sonny Liston fight, you know, in the 8th and 9th round. As a matter of fact, Barney Felix wanted to stop the fight at the end of the 9th round. And I said, Barney, you're not stopping this fight. I got one more round. I'm going 10 rounds. So he said, well, how many fingers up? How many fingers do I have up? And I said, how many guesses do I get? You know, he said, don't be a smart Alex Chuck. He said, I'm going to let you come out for the 10th round, but if the cut gets any worse, because I had a bad cut under my left eye, he said, I'm going to stop it. It wound up the doctor jumped up on the ring apron and waved it off because Liston hit me with a couple of punches, and they stopped the fight. But they asked Sonny Liston if I was the toughest guy he ever fought. He said, oh, I wouldn't want to meet him in an alley. And from coming from somebody like Sonny Liston, that was a compliment.
And you fought Sonny Liston at the Armory in Jersey City. Let's have you just do a quick comparison. Sonny Liston, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman. What are the similarities? What are the differences?
Well, Sonny Liston was the biggest puncher I ever fought. I actually, a couple of times I felt things crack when he hit me in my nose and my cheekbones started hurting. And great jab, and he used to hook off the jab, and I was made for that. I mean, moving in like that, he hit me with the jab and then come back with the hook. I just, he was the toughest guy I ever fought. Muhammad Ali was the best fighter I ever fought. I couldn't, I couldn't hit him with a combination. I wasn't a one-punch knockout guy like a Liston or a Foreman, and that's why he was so difficult to fight. And George Foreman, I fought him when he was young, the young George Foreman, and he was a wild swinging kid. And I actually saw the punch coming. He used to throw his hook so wide. Anyway, George threw a hook. I saw it coming, and I thought I slipped it, and I was going to try to counter it with the right hand. And instead, he caught me right on the eyelid, and it was the worst cut I ever got. I got, 72 or 73 stitches. But the percussion of the punch was so hard that my eye bone swelled up from inside and broke through my eyelid. And it was sticking out almost an eighth of an inch. And at the end of the round, Al Braverman said to me, Chuck, I can't work this cut. We're going to have to stop the fight. For Al Braverman, who was the greatest cut man in the game at that time, to say that, I realized it must have been a serious cut. And it was.
Another person that we've had on Sports Jam that you have had the opportunity with fighting several times was Randy Newman, who is now the treasurer of the IBF. Just wrote me and said he heard the Cooney Show and he knew that I was coming to interview you. You've had some battles with Randy Newman. Talk about that.
Randy Newman's a very tough guy. You know, Randy maybe didn't get the publicity that I got or Jerry got because we both fought for the championship of the world, but I'll tell you what, he was one of the toughest guys I fought. I fought him 3 times, and we split the first 2 on decisions. He won the first one, I won the second. And in the 3rd bout at the Garden, it was a triple header at the Garden. We were headlining, and he was in the fight. It was an even fight, and he got cut, and they stopped it. That's the only time in my career that I ever won a fight on a cut. I lost, I think, 7 or 8 on eye cuts. But, he was a very tough guy and a very formidable opponent. And right now we're very dear friends. We see each other often.
Do you think, is it just the physical makeup that makes someone cut more than somebody else? Do you ever think about if you didn't cut so much, just what your career could have been?
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. That's what my manager used to say. You know, you might cut easy, but you can take a great punch. A lot of guys maybe don't cut easy, but they don't take a great punch. A lot of guys maybe they don't train hard enough. You know, it was hard for me to train because I was never a a fighter who was backed by any organization or money. I used to have to run in the morning, work all day, and then train at night. I was really like a part-time fighter. And when I got the shot against Ali and Don King sent me away to camp, 7 weeks in camp, let me tell you, I was in the greatest shape of my life that night. And I had to be because I was fighting the greatest fighter of all time, Muhammad Ali.
You had more than 300 stitches, and is it right? 328. And you had your nose broken 11 times. When I'm looking at Chuck Wepner right now, your face looks pretty darn good, Chuck. You're still a very handsome man.
Thank you, but my wife says I'll go along with that. My wife Linda. In the meantime, you know what it was? 328 stitches. I had the most of all time. As a matter of fact, it was close between me and Vito Antifermo, and I told my manager, I want one more fight because I want to be number one. And Al said, that was a joke, by the way. So Al said, I was a little short on that. But the cuts, I was a fast healer. My eyes would always heal. And the nose, believe it or not, it's not a serious injury. I mean, it was reconstructed when I finished boxing by a Dr. Dispaltro from Staten Island. As a matter of fact, he said to me, I'm going to give you a new nose, Chuck. Who do you want to look like? I said, how about Debbie Reynolds? And he said, no, I don't think I can do it that good. But as long as you straightened it out, because I had deviated septums on both sides. I think the last seven or eight fights I fought, I actually could just breathe through my mouth. That was it.
Was there ever a moment in the ring where Chuck Wepner felt invincible?
Chuck Wepner felt invincible. Not really. You know what? I just went in. I tried my hardest, and I gave it 100% every time. And invincible. No, I don't think anybody's invincible. You know, that's what it is about boxing. It's a one-person sport. You can't depend on anybody else. You're in there, and anybody could get taken out with a good punch. It's been proven by a lot of the greatest fighters of all time. And you have to be careful at all time, and you have to be able to take a punch. That was my greatest asset. That, my conditioning.
And you kind of answered this before. No regrets throughout this entire boxing career and in the aftermath.
No regrets at all. I'm living a great life. I say my wife and I, Linda, live very well. And we both work for the same company, the liquor company, Allied. And we live large. We both drive new Lincolns. We wear beautiful clothes. We can go out and spend, $1,000 if we want, and it's not going to kill us. You know, I have my children here in Bayonne, and they're all here, and I get to see them quite a bit, actually, my two daughters. And it's been a great life. I wouldn't change anything.
And some of those who actually got to see you play basketball might not have ever imagined what Chuck Wepner's career in boxing and now on the big screen will be. Linda, thanks for joining us on Sports Jam. It's a pleasure meeting you, and I look forward to the film just as much as you do, and I see the picture here.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Chuck, thanks so much for allowing us to come into your home here in Bayonne and be a guest here on Sports Jam.
You're a nice guy, big guy, Christ. You know, you got any ideas about maybe being a good heavyweight someday?
There's no way that I would ever do what you did, Chuck. I can tell you that.
All right, thanks again, and it's a pleasure being with you this afternoon.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all of the shows by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam. You can also catch Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. Special thanks going out this week to Jay Cotton for helping us get in touch with Chuck Wepner. Until the next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.